Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you're well. Do we need to do a call or response, kind of just to make sure we're all awake? You want to? Okay. So when I say Jesus, you say Christ. Jesus.
Christ.
Jesus.
Christ.
There you go. You guys are all with me then. Okay, here we go. We're going to wrap up our series on the kingdom. And just to give you a heads up, we're going to start a new series starting next Sunday called Equipped. We're going to do a study through the book of Titus. So guess what? Titus has three chapters. So this week, you can finish Titus. Today's going to be part 6. Just to do a recap, a summary of the last 5 parts that we've been doing. The first part we did was the 5 faces of a New Testament church that Mark brought. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. And everybody should get up out their seats now and get excited just on that alone, right? Part 2, according to the spirit of holiness that Chris brought, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, lives in me. And I know for some of us, it's hard for us to even wrap our head around that, but the same power, that dunamis power that raised Christ from the dead, lives in me, lives in you. Part 3, the kingdom fortress that Mark brought. And really all it was simply saying is teaching us how to live in the kingdom with Jesus as our fortress, right? Just living a kingdom life in Jesus. Part 4, Jess brought. It was simple, straight to the point. I'm not going to say it was sweet because it was challenging. And she taught on living a life of worship. And then part 5, Dom brought last week, with Jesus the Word became flesh. The importance of having the Word being a part of every day in our lives. And today, before I tell you what I want to wrap up on, the last time I was up here, or last time I was preaching, I was down here, and I had a word that I wanted to bring, but you know when you ever have a word that you feel that God hasn't released yet? And I was anxious. I was like, okay, let me go, whoever's leading the meeting, let them know what's on my heart. It didn't happen. And then next week, I was like, okay, here we go. It's obviously still on my heart, so, you know, let's just bring that word. And it didn't happen. I mean, you know that God, he's funny sometimes. And then when I heard about how the series was going, and then I knew I was up to preach, at that point I felt the Lord say, this is the word that I actually want you to preach, not just release that morning. And so part 6, what I want us to wrap up on the series on the kingdom, I titled it All In. All In. And if you ever know about the phrase all in means all in. And it took me back to when I was younger and all my friends, we would always do things that were like challenging. I dare you to do this, right? I dare you to run across the street when a car is coming, like just crazy things. To see if we would actually do it. And some people did. I didn't do it, though. I was too scared. I was the chicken in the group. That's right. That was me. And then it also makes me think about team sports and how it's important for the team, for the players, for the organization to be all in on the game that they're playing, on the season that they're going to have. And then it made me think about another example, which I don't gamble, but I hear and I've seen that with poker players, when they believe that they have a great hand and they're going to win, they'll bet all of their chips and say, I'm all in. Yeah. And so it just made me think about, in the kingdom context, about how many of us that follow Christ are all in. And so If you have your Bibles with me, or sorry, if you have your Bibles with you, I got mine. But turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. If the person next to you does not have a Bible, do not look at them strangely, because we got it up here anyways. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Turn with me to 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4. I know a lot of you were thinking, hey, we didn't do what we normally do before we read. And so I showed Mark earlier that my kids, they actually bought me these socks. And you can't probably see them. You can't probably see it from there. But on the socks it says, sure thing. And so if you're there, 2 Peter 1 to 3, sorry, chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, say, sure thing.
Sure thing.
Sure thing. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Gotta love that he's called us to his own glory and excellence. By which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And so we have to understand this main concept is that we have everything that we need to live in this kingdom. Because the kingdom is inside of you. It's inside of me. And what I believe the Lord is calling us at this time is to make a decision in our hearts if we're actually going to be all in or not when it comes to his kingdom. You see, we have to decide in our hearts if we are going to be fully committed to his kingdom or if we will serve our own kingdom. This is good news. Because God's kingdom is what? It's not self-serving. God's kingdom is actually not a democracy. It's like for those of us that are married. And it's not just if you are married, because we have to actually get the concept that we are the bride of Christ and we have a bridegroom that's coming back for his bride. But when we're at the altar, we made that decision of, I am fully committed to you. In other words, I am all in into this marriage, despite what happens. When you go to work for the first time and you sign off on that contract, what you're stating is, I am all in into this work environment. I'm all in. See, the very name kingdom comes from dom, meaning dominion, and king, meaning king. Right? So it's where the dominion of the king, or where the king has dominion. It's pretty straightforward, really simplistic. Are you still with me? And so our mandate is to colonize earth with the culture of heaven. To colonize earth with the culture of heaven. Because you see, when a kingdom colonizes a territory, it fills that territory with that culture. For example, Barbados. Before it was a colony, before 1625, it was an island. And then the British came. No, the British came. In 1625, and made Barbados part of the British colony. And so what happens? They brought all of their traditions, they brought their culture, and made it and established it in Barbados. That's why in Barbados you would drive on the left side of the road. And until 1966, when they got their independence, I was told that they were still drinking tea. right? Still having their afternoon tea, whatever it is. I don't know if they were having crumpets, so I'm not sure. But, yeah. But we have to understand is the kingdom you cultivate is what people will be drawn to. The kingdom that you cultivate is what people will be drawn to. And so everything we do in life is in the context of kingdom. Everything we do. Us here, right now, when we go to the mall, everything we do is in the context of kingdom. And we can't separate the two. We can't say that's the kingdom and this is my life. It just doesn't work that way. And so what God is trying to do to us is look at the big picture of this all. He actually gave me this word. He says, you need to stretch out your tents because your thinking is too small. Your thinking is too small. See, this kingdom is about impact. You heard Dan bring that, encourage us this morning. When we go to school, Elevate, Ignition, Beyond, teachers, when you go to school next week, it's about impact. We're bringing the kingdom of God wherever we go to impact that region or workplace or whatever it is. See, the kingdom releases you to operate in who Jesus called you to be. There's freedom in his kingdom. Because Jesus says, this is who I've called you to be. This is who you are. Now just operate. Just be that person. When we accepted Jesus in our hearts, we chose him to be Lord over our lives. And at this point, we became part of his kingdom, and he also became our king. In other words, you don't have to wait to be a part of his kingdom. When you said yes to Jesus, automatically he said, all right, you're part of my kingdom. You're part of my kingdom. And made me think of, if all of us have it, if you don't know, we just came back from Florida a week ago, and we were at Disney World. We love Disney World. Don't judge us. And the one thing about Disney is they always say what? It's the happiest place on earth. Everything is so magical. And think about it. Everything would be clean if this was Disney World. Everybody would be nice, and all news would be good news, and the only work would be play, and the only object would be fun. And life would be a thrill in a minute. Singing, you know, it's a small world after all. I'm not going to. I'm tired of it. But think about it. The happiest place on earth. And it made me think about when we're at the Magic Kingdom and you have Mickey and Minnie and all these other characters in the happiest place on earth and everybody has a good time. And I thought, if that's happening in the Magic Kingdom, why isn't it happening in the kingdom? Why don't we give Magic Kingdom a ride for their money? Why don't we give them some competition? Because when it comes to the kingdom, it's not about the Magic Kingdom, but it's about the Master's kingdom. It's a kingdom where Christ is king and Jesus is Lord. A kingdom where there is no war, just peace, no sadness, just joy, no sickness, just health, no death, just life, no hatred, just love, no fear, just faith. That's the kingdom that we're part of. And what we're trying to do is get that kingdom to be manifested here on earth. But it takes us to do it. So who are these people? So then it made me think about, let me just think of some people in the Bible that were all in. Just take the disciples. Let's just take something simple as the disciples. Matthew 4:18 says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. They left their business and left their family to be all in into who this Jesus person is, because they didn't really even have a full revelation of who Jesus was. But they knew he was worth it to be all in. And then one of my favorite characters, Caleb, and we'll read Numbers 13, 26 to 33. It says, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community of Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. When we went into the land to which you sent us, it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then you just gotta love Caleb. Then Caleb silenced the people, shh, before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it, and all the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come from the Nephilim, and we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Despite what the report, what these other 10 said, you had Caleb and Joshua that said, hey, you know, we can actually go out and take this land. We're actually all in into this mission that you've given us, actually into this calling that you've given to us, that we actually can go out. And how many of us actually, we spend more time listening to the naysayers than those that are saying, I'm all in. I'm all in. Our perspective of our king determines our perspective of the kingdom. Our perspective of the king determines our perspective of the kingdom. See, our value of our king will determine the value we see in his kingdom. If you value the king, then you'll value his kingdom. It's like, I don't always want to use it for an example, but if you value going to the States, then you'll value the president. And there's silence. Because we'll always value the person in charge. It's like, who's in charge around here? And say, that person. Then based on that person, I can determine if I can actually be a part of this. You can think about that one. Our heart should always be to please the king. That's just what it's all about. That's why I can appreciate Janine coming here and nobody putting up their hands, and maybe it wasn't a word for anybody, but maybe it was just God just saying, hey, are you going to be obedient even nobody puts their hands up? So I appreciate that. And my relationship with the king affects the kingdom. My relationship with the king affects the kingdom. Because you have to understand that the kingdom is not just about you. It's about all of us together. It's about all of us together. And all of us have a part to play in the kingdom. You still with me?
Yeah.
Wonderful. So can I just encourage us to take time and listen for the King's voice? Take time and listen for the King's voice. Because we live in a society, and trust me, I know probably firsthand, we can compare lives, but I live a very busy life. And sometimes I always feel like I'm rushing. But I never want to be rushing, and then God says, are you ready? But I'm busy, rushing. Stop rushing so that you can be ready for all that God has for you to do. And that's for me, trust me, I'm like soaking in it. So areas that we can be all in. Number one, that I just felt the Lord wanted us to go over three things. Number one is kingdom culture. And one of the biggest things I've observed is how the church has always related to God through the lens of their own culture instead of kingdom culture. Because the one thing about culture is all around us. We can't run from it. Culture is made up of our values, beliefs, underlying assumptions, attitudes, and behaviors. And so at work, we have a culture. When we go to school, there's a culture. Our background is a culture. Where we were born, the country, there's a culture. In the community that we were raised, there's a culture. Even in the friends that we have, there is a culture. And the culture is screaming out for us everywhere we go. And if we are not settled on the kingdom being our culture, I'm telling you, folks, church, friends, we will drift away. We will drift away. We can't allow our culture to override kingdom. We can't allow this culture to override, to take its place, to take priority over God's kingdom. There's only one culture, and that's kingdom. And we have to be, and we're subjected actually to that culture. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10, it says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually or immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. It's really as simple as this. There's a standard that God has in kingdom, and if you're not going to abide to that standard, then I'm sorry, you can't be a part of the kingdom. It's really that simple. If you're going to do your own thing and not be subjected to the laws and to the heart of the king, then guess what? You're actually on your own. And so you can't inherit this kingdom that he has prepared for us. And so we are cultivating a kingdom culture. However, the other thing that I feel like we have to be all in is cultivating a kingdom mindset, which is number two. Our mindset should always be, how does this affect the kingdom and my king? How does this affect the kingdom and my king? How does my behavior right now affect the kingdom and my king? How does my behavior at work affect the kingdom and my king? Can I go a little deeper? Everybody's like, no, please don't, just stop. See, the world teaches us that we need to work towards something, and the kingdom teaches us to work from the place that he has already given to us in Jesus. The kingdom tells us, you need to work harder. And Jesus says, no, where have I put you? It's like what Mark said a few weeks ago, and reminded us that we don't fight towards victory, but we fight from victory. Right? We don't have to do it anymore because it's already been done. And all we have to do is start from a place of rest in who Jesus is. And that's our starting position all the time. This is who Jesus is, and I can rest in that truth. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." I'm just going to go through a few scriptures just so that we understand that our mindsets actually do matter to God. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Can we see that our mind matters to Christ? Colossians 3:1-2. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth." Church, we have to come to a place where we're not going to let our minds, our natural minds, run our lives. And that's why every single day our minds need to be renewed of who our King is, this kingdom that we live in, and this royal family that we are a part of. That's why we always have to have our minds renewed. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 27 is a story about the rich young ruler. And it says, "As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother.' And he said to him, 'Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up.' Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But at these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property." See, most people are all in when it's comfortable and convenient. And when the challenges come with our relationship with Christ, when the challenges come, our relationship with Christ gets tested whether our relationship is based on convenience or covenant. When the challenges come, we're going to know, is this relationship with the King based on convenience or is it based on our covenant with him? Yeah, but Pastor Kevin, you don't understand the challenges that I have. I don't need to understand the challenges you have. All you need to know is that you have a kingdom inside of you that you can bring into your challenges. I hope this is simple for us to understand this morning. Let's not make this complicated. You have a kingdom inside of you that can actually address every single situation you're going through. But it's really up to us. Which brings me to the third point. Are we all in kingdom faith? In kingdom faith. James 1:5-8 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Powerful words from James. Faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. If we don't have faith, we have nothing. We have nothing. In Romans 4, 16 to 25, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offsprings be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. This is where we get excited. Yeah. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. The simple reality is that God trusts us. So why do we find it so hard to trust him? What do you mean God trusts us? I'll tell you. He gave us his son, Jesus. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the keys to the kingdom. He gave us the fruit of the Spirit. Would you not think that God trusts us? Oh, by the way, and he also gave us a mandate. So why do we find it hard to trust him? Because I'm only going to give a gift to somebody if I trust that they're going to use that gift. Or else it's in vain. Are you with me? So kingdom faith demands us to trust in our King without wavering. We can't waver anymore, church. We either trust God or we don't. I mean, I think that's as plainly as James put it. So let's believe and expect that all things that we think in the natural can't be done, can be done. So let's believe. We have to believe that, church. We have to believe that God, if I see somebody that has one leg, that God is able to give that person another leg. We have to believe for the impossible to be possible in God. We have to stretch out our faith once again to believe that he says who he says he is, and he will do what he said he will do. And there is a song in there, but I'm not going to sing it. Do we believe that nothing is too hard for the Lord? I wrote down here, let's not have the if you can mentality. If you can, Lord, will you be do this? And you can see an example of that in Mark chapter 9. verse 23. But we have to stop coming to him. If you can, please do this. Because God's going to say, what do you mean if I can? Sometimes you just have a picture in heaven. Like sometimes I think God may laugh sometimes, have a little chuckle. Are these guys serious? If I can? Don't they know? And not in a conceited way, please hear my heart. But it's almost like, are they serious? Do they not know who I am? They've been serving me for 50 years. Do they still not know who I am? And this kingdom faith, this is not just for a Sunday. But what really matters is what happens from Monday to Saturday. So it's not just what happens at Beyond. It's not about what happens at Elevate or Ignition or at Sparkle or on Frontline or in our Connect groups. We can't single this kingdom faith to just a one-time event or a one-day event in a seven-day week. It's what really happens from Monday to Saturday is what this kingdom is all about. Oh, and after 12 when you leave this building. So in closing, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit. I picture them before the world began in a huddle. And the Father saying to his Son, my boy, you have to go and do this. And Jesus saying, I'm all in. And the three of them go, one, two, three, all in. And then Jesus coming, and then we know the rest. The point is that they were actually all in this together when Jesus came. Jesus was committed to calling the calling that his Father gave him. If you are a follower of Christ, your inheritance is to be a part of his kingdom. He wants you to be a part of his kingdom. I wrote here, the king needs us to be all in regarding his kingdom so that the world will see an authentic people serving an authentic God. And then the Lord took me to something, and I'll just end with this. Because I totally forgot about it. And this goes back to when all of us as elders had the privilege of encouraging us about expansion and what this meant for us as a church this year. At the end of the day, the two things. And it's actually online, so you can go listen to it. Well, it's probably this one. Yeah, here we go. Expansion of your faith is what I felt this year. And the Lord reminded me of it. And it says, once again, you can go online. It says, a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered, it has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. It says, for some of us, we've entertained our have-nots for far too long. I believe this year God is wanting us to challenge every sickness, every negative thought, every opportunity for a miracle. I sense the Lord saying, the degree of faith you approach me will be the degree of my response. Believe for the bigness of God. Believe for the bigness of God. And then the other thing was the expansion of worship, which I won't touch on because Jess did a great job on it. But I found it so interesting that I actually totally forgot about this, and then the Lord reminded me about this whole thing about expansion. And what he, and once again, it's not what I felt, it's what he felt for us. Let's just get that straight. But really the question for us today is, what are we waiting for? In all seriousness, what are we waiting for? If we're not going to be all in, then when are we going to be all in? And that's what I felt challenged this week about. Because it was actually about, you know, he always deals with us first before he, So if we're not going to be all in, then what are we waiting for? This kingdom affects our marriages, affects our families, parents, it affects your kids, it affects our workplaces, it affects the school system, it affects the government. This thing about the church living kingdom affects everything around us. And that's why there's such a strong impression from the Holy Spirit saying, are we going to be all in? Because guess what? I'm coming back for a bride that is all in. That's the bride I'm coming back for. A bride that is all in into this relationship with the King and His kingdom.